This morning, I'd like to take a few minutes to discuss what it means to call on the name of the Lord. We have this phrase several times in the Bible. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? We're going to primarily look at three passages this morning in the New Testament to examine this thought. The first passage starts very early in the new church on the day of Pentecost. This is 7 days after Jesus has ascended into heaven, and Jesus told the apostles that you need to remain in Jerusalem. I'm going to send the Comforter to you. And so a week later, indeed, Jesus kept his promise. The apostles were filled with the Holy Ghost, and Peter got up and began to preach. And one of the main things in his sermon that day was from the prophet Joel. And if we turn to this first passage, we go to Acts 2 and 21, Peter says from Joel, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It indeed does say that. And any time that the Scriptures say a way that we can have salvation, if we truly indeed are searching for that and want to be saved, then we should be willing to investigate what does that entail. What does that mean to call upon the name of the Lord? We need to know exactly what Peter is referring to here that Joel said actually in the Old Testament. If we don't do that, if we're not willing to investigate, the world will fill in for you. The world will tell you what it thinks it means, and hope that you follow along with that. And we, of course, know what the world says about this. For the last 50 or so years, the world has really put this out there, that all you have to do to call on the name of the Lord is to say a prayer, to ask Jesus to come into your heart. It's even referred to as the sinner's prayer. And a lot of times, I know you've heard people from this pulpit, and me included, say that the sinner's prayer is nowhere in the Bible. The sinner's prayer is a man-made construct. It's not in the Bible at all. And that is true. It is not in the Holy Scriptures. However, I want to carefully use my words in the future, because I started using this New King James Version this summer down at the study at Smart Road. And a couple weeks ago, I just happened to notice on the front here it says that there's a user's guide inside, which I thought was interesting, because a book is not a super new type of technology, but apparently there's a user guide in here. And so I looked at the user guide, and at the end of it, there's a lot of really good things that they say about the Bible and how it was written and things like this, but at the end it says that you need to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and this is how you can be saved, and you can do that now by meaningfully offering this prayer. And here is a sinner's prayer in a Bible, right here on this front couple of pages. And it says, here's the prayer: "Dear God, I believe you love me and that Jesus Christ came as your gift, dying on the cross and rising again for me. I confess my faults and failures. I ask you to forgive my sins. I now ask Jesus to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. I accept his promise of eternal life. Help me live for Christ alone from this day. In Jesus' name, amen." If you've offered this prayer, be sure to let the person, church, or organization that gave you this Bible know about it. And that's what it means to call upon the name of the Lord according to the world. This has been preached about on TV and preached about on the internet, and everyone is talking about that this is the way to call upon the name of the Lord. There's a real problem with that if that is the only thing that calling upon the name of the Lord means, to call out to the Lord, to ask him to come into our lives. And the problem with that is because there will be very controversial scriptures that Jesus himself said from the words of Jesus in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who says to me," and this is Jesus talking, is Jesus calling out Peter? Is Jesus saying what Peter said or from the book of Joel is not correct? Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." That's not true. "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now, that's going to be controversial if the world's view of calling upon the Lord is true. Jesus is saying it's not true. that there is more to calling upon the name of the Lord, and a lot of what that is includes, as Jesus says here, doing the will of my Father. That calling upon the Lord means that I have to do some things that my Father in heaven has asked me to do. That's the way I answer, and that's the way I can call upon the name of the Lord. So we know in Acts 2 and 21, the first passage that we read, that we know that that's not the end of Peter's speech. That was in the middle of Peter's speech. And we get to verse 37, and the Jews come to a realization that they had crucified the Son of God. That's a scary revelation to come to. And they say, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why did they ask that question? Didn't Peter already tell them, call upon the name of the Lord and you will be saved? Why did they ask that question? Because they knew what calling upon the name of the Lord entailed in the Old Testament. There were lots of things. There was even sacrifice. But now they understand that there's a new covenant here, and they were asking him basically to clarify, what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? What do? We want to be saved. They're investigating. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? And in verse 38, which we all know, Peter tells them. Peter tells them what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to call upon the name of the Lord here in this passage at least. Repentance and baptism. Those are the two things that Peter says to clarify what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. And if you're investigating this truly, you really want to be saved, you're going to listen to people that tell you what it means, and you're going to investigate the holy word of God to see what indeed does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's why in verse 41, it says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. Those that investigated that, they saw what it was to call upon the name of the Lord, they gladly received the word, and they were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Added to them by who? Added to them by God. They were not added to the church until they were baptized. That's what it says there in verse 41. Repentance and baptism, clearly from this passage, are part of what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. The other passage that most people will go to, very few people that I've had this discussion with, very few people will do the Acts 2 and 21. Everyone will do Romans 10 and 13. That's our second passage we're going to look at, Romans 10 and 13, which says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's exactly Acts 2 and 21. Why is it exactly the same thing? Because, again, it's the prophet Joel. The prophet Joel is the one who said these words. Peter refers to them in Acts 2. Paul refers to them in Romans 10 and 13. They're both referring back to what the Jews would know about what calling on the name of the Lord back from the Old Testament, and trying to hopefully encourage them to figure out what does it mean in the new covenant church. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Romans 10 and 13 is the primary passage that people are going to go to. And of course, then we need to look at Romans 10 and 13 and see what's the context. What else does it say in that particular chapter, or maybe in the entire book, if we really want to expand some things. Romans 10, 9 through 10. He says this just a few verses before he gets to Romans 10 and 13. He says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? So we can go all the way down to verse 13. What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord here? It means, according to Paul, that you need to confess with your mouth. That's important too. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that you believe he was raised from the dead, that he's the Son of God. Confession is mentioned here as part of what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Acts 2 didn't really mention that. Acts 2 talked about repentance and it talked about baptism. Paul here is saying that that there's confession involved in this. This is why I believe that most people go to Romans 10 and 13. Because if you expand it to the whole chapter, you don't read about baptism, you read about confessing the Lord Jesus And that's why we stick that into a prayer and we call it good. Most people don't want to go to Acts 2:21, even though it says the exact same thing, because you don't have to go very far to realize what Peter is saying there when they officially say, please clarify. Peter says, without a doubt, repentance and baptism is what you need to be doing. Now, the problem with even that argument is the Bible is divided up into verses and chapters, and that is kind of a problem for us, even us. Rarely do we actually read a letter like we read a letter that we receive in the mail. You receive a letter in the mail, even if it's really, really long, you sit down and you read through that entire letter. You don't read a paragraph and have a hard time understanding what that paragraph means because you haven't read the entire letter. It'd be good to sit down someday and just read the book of Romans. It would take you, on the average, an hour. 1 hour to read the entire book of Romans. And if we did that, we would not be confused when we come to Romans 10:13, because we could go back 4 chapters earlier in Romans 6, Romans 6:3 through 4, and we would read what Paul had already told them. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Does calling upon the Lord have anything to do with baptism? Yes. Paul has already talked about that. And now in this chapter in Romans 10, he's talking about that you need to confess that Jesus Christ actually raised from the dead. And you repent of your sins, as Peter said in Acts 2, and then you are baptized, as they both said in both of the books. This is what it means to call upon the name of the Lord. Paul wrote this passage. Now, he is quoting Joel again in Romans 10 and 13, but Paul wrote this passage. Did Paul know anything about what it meant to call upon the name of the Lord? Did he know about anything in his own life's experience? Had anyone ever told him to call upon the name of the Lord and told him how exactly to do it? Was Paul saved on the road to Damascus? We hear that a lot. Paul was saved on the road to Damascus. You know, Paul was not saved on the road to Damascus. He was not. You can read about this in Acts chapter 9. It talks about the conversion of Saul. Paul was humbled on the road to Damascus. Paul met Jesus, the person he was persecuting, on the road to Damascus. Paul was struck blind on the road to Damascus. But when Paul asked Jesus, what do I need to do? What was Jesus' response? You go on into this city and you'll be told what you're going to do. Jesus didn't even tell him what he should do. He said, you're blind. Let some people help you find the city. He was told to go into the city and then he would be told what to do. If Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, he did not know it. He did not know it. And he was the most miserable Christian for the first 3 days of his life there ever was. He was blind. He didn't eat. He didn't drink for 3 days. When was he saved? He was saved after someone came to tell him what he was to do. And Paul recounts that story himself in Acts chapter 22. And I want to read a large portion of this chapter for you. Acts chapter 22. This is Paul himself, and I believe the reason for this is to recount to people, here's my salvation story, and here's the story that we're trying to tell people what you need to do to be saved. And here's what he says. He's in front of a lot of people, and he's expounding upon this. Acts 22. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. And when they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise, and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. And he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our Father has chosen you, and that you should know his will, and see the Just One, and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And that brings us to verse 16. The next thing that Ananias tells him, the thing that Lord Jesus told Ananias to tell him, the thing that he had told, that Lord Jesus had told Paul to go and you will find out what you must do. We come to Acts 22 and 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There's our third passage for calling on the name of the Lord. Paul knew exactly what he was saying and what he was trying to tell the Romans in Romans 10 and 13. He had the exact same experience. He was told, call on the name of the Lord. And he was told, without a doubt, what that meant. What are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, have your sins washed away, calling on the name of the Lord. It is simple if we are willing to investigate. If we want to look into the scriptures, if we truly want to be saved, we will do everything we can to figure out what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord. What are we supposed to do? We are supposed to repent of our past sins. We are supposed to confess Jesus Christ. And we are supposed to be baptized, buried in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. If you have this need this morning, we ask that you take care of this. Don't delay. What are you waiting for? This is the time. You know what the scriptures say on what to do. Please take care of that at this time as we stand and sing the invitation song.